I'm trying to take us in the next couple of weeks to the cross and then to the garden too. And Jesus had a lot to say the last week of his earthly ministry. He had a lot to say. We certainly won't cover it all. But I found something very interesting in Scripture that I want to share with us today. Jesus is making his march to Jerusalem. And ultimately, he knows that he's headed to Calvary. And he's doing it for our good. He goes to Calvary for our good, friends. But so few of his contemporaries understood what he was doing. They didn't get what he was doing. They didn't know why. It was dangerous to go to Jerusalem during Passover. He had already been threatened to be killed. His own disciples who loved and cared for him said, "Lord, are you sure you want to go there? Last time we were there, they were giving us death threats." He says, "No, we need to go." And last week I shared the power of his resurrection with his good buddy Lazarus. And as I was looking at that, I found something very interesting. We see sisters, Martha and Mary, the M&Ms. Different colors, but M&Ms nonetheless. They're very unique, but I think there's lessons to be learned from Martha and Mary. Tonight we're going to look at brothers in the Lord. The four main disciples that walked with Jesus were two sets of brothers. Peter and Andrew and James and John. How he used brothers. I think it'll be good. Not sure, I think. You know, in my head, they're all good. No, I can't say that. Sometimes they're not good even in my head. But sometimes I shout louder just in case I can make it sound a little better while I'm hollering. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. This is after Lazarus was raised from the dead. I don't know what would happen today if someone who was verified dead 4 days came back. Maybe the internet would literally blow up. I don't know. But Luke 10:38, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary." Now, hang on. I told you only some of these are good. I'm setting up my note. Just forget what I said before, because this is a separate incident. We're going to get to that incident. This is before Lazarus was raised, okay? Apologize for that, but let me tell you, my wheelchair pushing skills are way up. I'm hoping to see them go down again in a little bit, but right now they're way up. Martha received him, the woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister. Her sister's name was Mary. Seems like all the good women in the Bible's name is Mary. Call her Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And so I don't know necessarily how the house was laid out and how that all happened. But I am sure there were several people around Jesus. And they are in the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. All three of them live there. Okay? And she's listening. Mary is listening intently to Jesus. But Martha, dear Martha, was cumbered about much serving. And I want a video of this. And came to him. Now, Martha is nothing except bold. Martha is like, I have a problem here that needs to get solved. The silverware needs to get on the table. And she looks over for help, and there Mary is, looking up into Jesus and listening to him intently. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I don't know if anybody had a sister like that. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I've called Mary from the kitchen 3 times. She has not responded. Maybe she'll help if you ask her. You're not going to get me ever to believe that Jesus did not chuckle, at least on the inside. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing, understand verse 42, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is need. If we've got to eat with our fingers, we'll eat with our fingers. But what Mary is listening for is eternal value. And that's what I'm giving. Martha, I don't know about you. I love Martha. This world won't get where it needs to be without the Marthas. She's a get things done person. People are very reticent to give me ideas about the church. Because if I think it's a good idea, I say, well, why don't you go ahead and do that then? I'll give you that. She gets things done. Now, Mary, her blood sister. Mary's a student. Mary's a worshiper. Mary's a prayer. We need to know the Lord in as deep a way as possible. Because He's the one that knows it all. We need to study. We need to learn. We need to pray. Let me tell you, I love Mary. Because spiritual battles are not going to get done without Mary. Without the Marys in the body of Christ. Yes, you can love both Martha and Mary. My opinion, not really the perfect opinion, it seems to me, at least portions of these two are in all those that truly follow Jesus. We have some Marthas and we have some Marys. And it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about servers and get things done people and others that want to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, here's the rub in the body of Christ. The Marthas of this world get things done, and wonder how other people just love to worship the Lord and pray and read their Bible. All the while, there's work to be done. Somebody has to get up off of their knees at some time and get to work. So Martha's are thinking about you people that have devotions every day and have time with the Lord and just love you. Come to linger at the altar. And it's like, all right, we got to go do some stuff, though. We know that works cannot get you into heaven. But we are His creatures now. We've been born again. He has made us, and He's made us to do the works of the Lord. But the Marthas are like, how much you people spend so much time? There's so much needs to be done. Come on. How about you Marys out there, pray while you're serving? Now the Marys of the body of Christ look at the Marthas and wonder, I wonder if they're really saved. I appreciate them, but
I hope they're keeping up with their relationship with Jesus. They're running around doing this and that and the other thing. I never see them with their alone time with Jesus. I wonder about them. Don't they know Revelation chapter 3? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. I see them making a lot of suppers, but I never see them truly have fellowship with Jesus. What is wrong with them? You see, Revelation 3:20-21 was not written to sinners. It was written to the church, the believers. And the Mary say, you Martha, don't you understand? Stand. It's important to meditate on God's Word and get it into your soul so you don't sin against God. Jesus went away into the mountain to pray. All I ever see you just going to the mountain to go for a hike or take something to somebody. All you people are go, 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 go. When Lazarus died, our last week's lesson, when Lazarus had died, Jesus was close. What did she do? She jumped up and took off. I want to go see him. I got something to tell him.
John 11:20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Mary likes to sit still in the house and say, Lord, what's going on? Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been there, my brother had not died. You know, there's so many things that mean differently with the tone that you use. This is why texting is not a perfect science. The tone you use is so very important. And I see Martha's almost in a panic tone. Lord, if you just would have been here,
but look at the face of Martha. Look. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. Hallelujah. Martha, the scripture says, stood before Jesus and began to speak with him. I know you could have made it different. The faith of Martha. And she says, even now, maybe you can make a difference. Can I tell you something about Jesus, that my experience? And I've read about other people's experience. I've read the Bible. You know what I found about Jesus? Jesus never hurries. He's never in a hurry. He knows where he needs to be. When he needs to be there, he'll get there right on time. He never hurries. He'll never hurry in your situation. I don't care. You can ask him to hurry. Not going to hurry. You'll get there when it's the right time. And the right time for him to get there was right here. So if we go on, down a few verses to verse 32, we have the same scene with Mary. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she did not stand. She fell down at his feet. Saying unto him, Lord, she uses the same words. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. All the tone was totally different because she had fell at his feet. She recognized him as Lord and Master. I got so much to say, and I don't even know if I could say it right. Maybe I'll get to it later. But honey, we've got to have a better relationship with Jesus than someone who just answers prayers. It's got to be better than that. I think if you were here, Mary says, I think if you were here, my brother would not have passed on. When Martha said it, he told her, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. It's going to be okay. But when Mary says it, look what the scripture says. He was moved. He was moved to action by what Mary said. Are you with me? I hope I'm not boring you this morning. I've got a serious point here that I'm going to... This moved him.
I ask you this morning, which one had more faith? Martha, who said, you can still do something if you want to right now. Or Mary, who moved him and got him and said, all right, let's go. We're going to go to the gravesite. Who understood Jesus more? Before you answer, be careful. Because we like to think that Martha's kind of the unspiritual one. And she's not. And we kind of think that Mary's maybe might be what Martha's would call a little lazy. And she's not. They're just different. Let me tell you this, North Valley Assembly. We desperately need both Martha's and Mary's in the Church of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, I want to tell you, they do not need to be exclusive of one another. Now we get to my text. This is Lazarus has been resurrected from the dead now. And so in John chapter 12 and verse 1. This is very important. I think, Jamie, unless you can correct me, actually anybody can correct me, I think Jesus was anointed 3 times. One early on by a sinner woman. And then later on, this incident we're talking about, and then 4 days after this incident, he's anointed again. Here's the middle anointing. And there's a reason. Your Bible does not waste space with useless words. If it's in here, then there's a reason for it to be in here, all right? John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. I bet you Lazarus was sleep deprived. People are looking in the window. Yep, he's alive. Oh, look, he's eating something. He's moving. Where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, a fellowship dinner. And guess what? Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, being Jesus. And while Martha was serving, Mary, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Spikenard is extremely perfumey, very fragrant. It was also very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus. And wiped, and are you there? And wiped his feet with her hair. Let me tell you right now, everybody in the house was getting nervous. This woman first takes a pound of ointment. That's a lot. And she pours it all over his ankles and his feet. And then she takes her own hair and begins to wipe his feet. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The act of Mary touched everybody. It did something to everybody in the house. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, Judas, you're such a humanitarian. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You ever wonder why Jesus called Judas Iscariot in the first place? The other disciples, John wrote this, the other disciples knew that he was a thief. Are you telling me Jesus didn't know he was a thief? And let him carry the bag anyway.
Why would he do that? Because there is a certain amount of grace to God that will give you time to repent and get right. But do not be deceived. Just because you haven't been caught yet doesn't mean you're not going to get caught. People think that God's a little blind, that they've been getting away with it for so long. But no, no, your day's coming. He's graceful in that He gives us time to repent. Even that Jezebel in Revelation, I gave her time to repent. He gave Judas Iscariot time to repent. But Judas was a dog long before the Lord's Supper. He had plans long before that. He took a finder's fee out of every offering that came to Jesus and the disciples that were walking with Him. He probably had some of Martha and Mary's money in his pocket already. It's amazing to me that he cared more about the ointment than about Jesus. You see, Judas Iscariot did not know Jesus. He walked with Him and talked with Him, but he did not know Him. Kind of harsh, isn't it? Jesus said, shut up. Leave her alone, you bully. And the next phrase is so key. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. I read it several times. And I said, uh-oh. Peter didn't believe. James didn't believe. The other disciples didn't believe, but Mary believed that he was about to go to the cross. Jesus didn't say that to cover up for her. He said it because she said, I'm going to anoint your feet because I know soon and very soon you're going to be executed for our sins. I listened at your feet. I've been listening to you. The disciples might have been busy with something else, but Mary actually listened when Jesus said, the Jews are going to come, they're going to arrest me, they're going to torture me, and then they're going to kill me, but the third day I'll rise again. She actually heard it and believed it, and she knew His time was nigh. And she said, you're not going to die without the sweet fragrances that I give you. Oh, there's something to it. You're not getting it, but I know there's something to this. Jesus said, the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I won't always be here. And what Mary is doing to me right now, hallelujah. Somebody believed that Jesus is about to die. It was her idea to get the expensive spikenard out. She had heard Him. And so she anointed His feet for the journey. That on His journey, He would not forget that there is someone who believes. I believe that strong perfume scent stayed with Him. I believe if He took a deep breath on the road of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa, as He's climbing up Calvary, if he concentrated, He could sniff through the sweat and the blood. He could still smell a little bit of that spikenard, that He had the anointing to go forward. 4 days later, Jesus was anointed by another woman. And this time, it wasn't His feet. It's so interesting to me. It was not His feet. It was His head and body. His whole body was anointed. These two anointings, Jesus could smell when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could smell the anointing of believers when He stood in the courtroom before Pilate. He could smell the gracious anointing when He stood at the whipping post and was striped. And finally, as they drove the nails through His hands and feet, He could still smell that anointing and be reminded why He came in the first place.
that Father God had anointed him to come. That Father God caused him to be born of a virgin. That the Father God anointed him that he might be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. That God, hallelujah, anointed him to do miracles and healings. That he would be reminded that his Father had anointed him to go through this so that he might get to the cross. And I submit to you that even in the grave, you could smell some of the perfume from these anointings. Those spices that the other women brought were not needed. Hallelujah. Martha, listen carefully. Martha knew Jesus as the Savior, as the Son of God, and indeed the resurrection and the life. But Mary knew him as a friend. She knew him as her personal high priest. And she valued Jesus and her relationship with him more than anything else on this earth, including a pound of spikenard. She sat at his feet and sang, "Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with you." That's how Mary knew him. Hallelujah. Jesus beckons us to know him like that. Martha, keep on serving. We need you. But you need to take a little time with the Lord so he can give you direction on how to serve. Marys, you keep on spending time with Jesus. You keep being in the Spirit. We need you to do that. But Marys, sometimes you do have to get up off of your knees. Anybody who know who David Duplessis is or was? They called him Mr. Pentecost. He was one that took the full gospel message to all kinds of denominational people. And at that time, they were more fundamental than they were. But there's a lot of people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit outside of the Pentecostal circles and so forth. And early in his ministry, he prayed and prayed. He said, "I'd spend days and nights, my wife and I would fast and pray, oh God, use us in whatever you want us to do." And it went on for months. And finally, the Holy Ghost says, "David, would you get up and do something? You've prayed, you've asked my anointing, now I want you to go out and do, and I'll provide you as you go out and do something. Under my direction, start preaching. Oh Lord, I want to start a church." "Okay, you have prayed. Now set up a preaching point and begin to preach. Do what I tell you." These wonderful times with the Lord, and those of us who are full gospel, Spirit filled, we know these wonderful, glorious communion times with Jesus, and he captures us, and I don't know if we can live without them, honestly. You shouldn't try. But out of those, he'll give us something to do. He'll say, "All right, hallelujah, out of this, I'll give you direction." Don't raise your hand. If you're a Mary here, if you're somebody that is given, listen, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be in his presence. Understand this. The Marthas out there usually feel guilty for not spending more time in the prayer closet. You make the rest of us feel bad. We're thankful for you, but you make the rest of us feel a little guilty about serving. And the Marys feel guilty that they don't do enough for the kingdom of God. They kind of sort of wish they were more like Martha. Now, this is stupid. Be prepared. I'm warning you. This is stupid. But what I think the Lord is looking for, is a marathon. I told you it was stupid, but somebody that has wonderful times takes enough time to be with the Lord, but is also ready to serve at the drop of a hat. Wherever you see the need, you fill the need. He needs both. If Martha spends a little bit more time alone with the Lord, He will tell you what needs to be done. And there's other stuff that you worry about, He'll tell you, don't worry about that. I'll get somebody else to do it. Ooh. If Mary opens up and says, Lord, use me, He will. It may be a little different than Martha, but He'll use you. Cause you to go forward. So which one are you? You got to be part of one of them. If you're not, it's time to get born again. I mean, there's not a whole lot more for believers to do. Have fellowship with Jesus and then do what He wants us to do. There's not a whole lot more. All right? Jesus said, I have called you to sit on the couch and watch television until I return. Over here, I've anointed you to play games on your iPad or telephone until I return to gather you amongst the saints. I've called you to do nothing. Go to church. Sit there. Do not clap your hands. Do not raise your hands. Do not audibly sing. When someone asks you to pray, decline. He's never called us to do that stuff, all right? He has, listen, every month I deal with people that think half their life is over because they don't have a spouse anymore. And they say, listen, why? One of the questions that the widow and widow was asking, why didn't He take me too when He took my spouse? I've been with Him for so long. Why didn't He take me too? And my preacher answer is, because He has more for you to do here. When He's done with you, He'll take you too. But if He's here, if you are here, there's two things Jesus wants you to do. Have fellowship with Him and do what He tells you to do. And not be a lazy lout. Which one are you? We all lean one way or the other. We don't understand. The Marthas really don't understand the Marys. I was teaching a Sunday school class years ago, and somebody asked the question, how long should you pray? Somebody said 15 minutes. Somebody said, oh no, it's got to be an hour. Sweet hour of prayer. It's got to be an hour. How long should you pray? And there was a young guy there. He'd been saved, I don't know, 3-4 months. And he says, I think I know how long to pray. And he said, well, how long do you think? He says, until I'm done. If we were going to get nasty, when you go in your prayer time, you ask the Lord to bless your family and meet your needs and all of that kind of thing, and then you start twiddling your thumbs like, "Is there what more do I bless all the missionaries? Please, God, help Pastor Scott be better." Then it's like you run out of stuff, and then thoughts come. I got the dishes to do. I have the car. I got to change oil in the car, and it's like, is this holy? Because I'm trying to pray, and all that I can, those are just, you're just a Martha. And the Marys who love that time can't believe that you would get lost. You You know the Koreans, man. You know the big church there. They have prayer mountain over there, and they pray all day long, and it's wonderful. They don't understand that the United States is a bunch of Marthas. We want to get things done for God. I'm just saying, whatever you are, be who you are. I don't want Martha. Don't try and become Mary. And Mary, don't try to become Martha. You hear me what I'm saying? Because that's not who you are. He's got enough of both. He's going to get the work done. All right? If you could figure out, Lord, and listen, how many people are honestly thinking about that question? Now, which one am I? Am I more service or am I more just kind of fellowship with Jesus? Well, you can usually tell that if you pray for 5 minutes. The sixth minute will tell you which one you are. The sixth minute will tell you. When you say, okay, let's go. You know, you're Martha. It's like, leave me alone. I'm in here with the Lord. Leave me alone. Make your own lunch. No, you're married. You say, Pastor, you're being too simplistic here. Maybe I am. Missions. Some go and some send. We're a team. We work the other. I'm just going to ask everybody here, be somebody. Don't be a lump. Be somebody. Pray. I think we all should pray. Tim, come and rescue these dear people. I saw a commercial or an advertisement for a prayer conference. And they had 10 speakers. Like, when are we going to pray? Listen, preaching about prayer is not praying. Having a conference about prayer is not praying. Prayer is when you and God go come together and pray. I've been to prayer services where they never prayed. They shared news, but they never prayed. And we've got to get back to praying. Martha, if you can get your prayer done in a lot shorter time than Mary, but do your prayer time anyway. Do your reading time. If you're a little tinsy-bitsy bored, two-thirds through the chapter you're reading that day, not because you don't love God's Word, it's because you have so much on your plate. All right? Or if you're through with one chapter, say, oh no, I got to read another one. That's Mary. I'm just telling you. I'll shut up here in a second. Jesus is looking for a relationship like Mary had with Him. For me. Whether I'm inclined to it or not, He wants alone time with me. Martha, you're just going to have to be a little bit more disciplined to have your time alone with Jesus. Mary moved. And I'm not placing her over Martha. I am just saying Mary moved Him because she knew Him. If you want to move God, know Him. Know Him intimately. Know His Word. I have been there, friends. I've been on my knees for 15 minutes. And after that 16th minute, all I can think of is, when can I be done? I've run through all the things I'm supposed to pray for rather quickly. I did not have the spirit of intercession come upon me before God. And it's like, God, have I lost? What have I lost? Sometimes, friends, and I got to shut up here, but sometimes you're Mary and sometimes you're Martha. Sometimes are Mary prayer times and sometimes there's Martha prayer times. But if you learn to develop both of those things in your life, you can sing to be used of God and He will use you. He'll use your prayers to change things around you. He'll use your knowledge of Jesus to move the spiritual environment that you're in. And then He'll use your hands. He'll use your feet to feed the poor. He'll use your mouth to proclaim the goodness of God. He will use you in that manner. But let me tell you one more time before I close this morning. He didn't ask anybody to do nothing. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. He didn't ask, I don't have any talent. I don't have any giftings, Pastor. If you want to believe the lies of hell, you can. But my Bible said, we read it in our devotions, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew me while I'm in the womb. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, God knew me while I'm in the womb. Shut up, you bunch of abortionist killers. We're somebody even in our mother's womb. And God knows us. Jesus knew Martha. He said, Martha, you're troubled about many things. You make me laugh. But friends, in these last days, when Jesus' return is so imminent, let us be about the Master's work. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you're a go-goer, would you slow down just a little bit so the Spirit can talk to you? Don't you want to know Jesus today? I'm weary of a church, not our particular church, of a church world that sings about Him, that reads Scripture about Him, but they don't know Him. I preached there 2 weeks ago and won't go away. I want to know Him. Lord, I ask today that You would activate the Marys and the Marthas. Forgive us for believing lies, the lies of hell, that says you're beyond use, you're too old, you're too dumb, you don't know enough, you don't have enough talent to be used, that we might know the Jesus who helped create us has plans for us and put those things inside of us to glorify the kingdom of God. Each person in this room, whether they're inclined to serve or they're inclined to spend time in the presence of the Lord, may they do it wholeheartedly. Forgive us, Lord, for giving the world time that belongs to You. Forgive us, Lord, for giving the world time that belongs to You. The first belongs to You. Not the world, not to my job, but my first belongs to You. My last belongs to You. Facebook should not be the last thing in my life, but You be the last thing. The last person I speak with should not be my wife. It should be with You at the close of a day. Lord, I pray Your anointing would be upon Your people, that when danger is imminent, we could smell Your anointing, that we're not going to fail, that we're not going to give in, but we're going to overcome. Lord, I pray today in Jesus' name that You'd make powerful Marthas and Marys in this room. That the devil would have no ability to defeat us. Even as a congregation, that he'd have no ability to defeat us. Because the Marys and the Marthas are working. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And the kingdom of God shall be expanded because of what they are doing in and out of the house of God. Hallelujah. Break the false ideas that our purpose is very limited, that we cannot do much, that we are just kind of living, going through this life trying to survive it. Nonsense. Jesus has laid His hand upon me that I might be a Christ ambassador in this world today. Fill us with the power
and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Cause us to pray in the Spirit and cause us to pray with our understanding. Cause us to work in the Spirit and work with our understanding. At the end of the day, that the kingdom of God might be glorified. And you might be able to say at the end, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you go today. Tonight, we're going to talk about those four disciples. You might be one of them. Stay if you're going to practice with Tim here for the young adults choir.